book of Acts, chapter number 18. And we talked about, remember right now they're on their second missionary journey. And so they're traveling on this second missionary journey. Remember they visited already. That by the way, that journey started in Acts 16. Remember the three men that are involved in this journey? We got Paul, we got Silas, and we got Timothy. Timothy has joined them. And by the way, there is an occasion where Luke, the writer of the book, is along with them as well. And he uses the words we and us to describe times when he is with them as well during these times of this missionary journey. But remember in Acts chapter 16, they start out in the book of, they start out in the city of Philippi. And they go from Philippi, and we move into chapter number 17, and they visit the city of Thessalonica. And then they go to Berea. And then remember, they go to the city of Athens as well. And there are challenges along the way, really, in every one of these cities. They meet those challenges in Philippi. Remember that they were thrown into jail. The Philippian jailer comes to know Christ. Remember, then they get to the city of Thessalonica. They face some persecution there. They get to the city of Berea. And remember, the Bereans were known for, they were the ones who searched the scripture daily. Remember that? And so the challenge of being a Christian like the Christians there in Berea. And then we talked about the city of Athens. Remember, they were known, they had all those gods. And boy, it was a grief. It was a great burden and grief to Paul's heart when he looked around in the city of Athens. He saw that they were wholly given to idolatry. You remember that? And they even had a god. They even had an inscription to the unknown god, just in case they missed one. And Paul was grieved at his heart, but he began to see some souls saved there as well in Athens. And then from Athens, he moves to the city of Corinth in chapter number 18. We've already discussed the first 8 verses. Let me give you some quick reminders of what Paul has run into in the first 8 verses. From verse 1 through verse number 3, we talked about Paul's ministry companions. Remember, his ministry companions were a couple named Aquila and Priscilla. They didn't just become companions of Paul because of their trade. They were tent makers by trade. Paul would have the trade of tent making as well. But they served the Lord together as well. So you remember the challenge we gave you that night? We're serving God together, aren't we? And some of the sweetest and greatest friendships that in my life I have ever had are the ones alongside somebody who's serving the Lord with me. And I think about some of my college buddies and how that we served the Lord together while we were in college. And even outside of college now, I regularly talk to them and they're involved in the ministry just like I am. And it's exciting to be able to share blessings one with another. And why do we have that closeness? Because we're serving God together. And it's exciting. It's exciting to serve God with you. And we talked about Paul's ministry companions, there, Aquila and Priscilla. And then from verse 4 to verse number 5, we talked about Paul's ministry compassion. He was burdened for the people in Corinth. Have you ever had a time, because this is where I believe Paul is here in verse 4 and 5. Have you ever had a time where you feel like you're more burdened for the person that's lost than they are for their own condition? I mean, you're more burdened for them than the fact that they're in a lost condition and they're going to die without Christ. And we're so burdened for them. That's where Paul was. He was burdened for the people in the city of Corinth. And so because of that burden, he decided to preach to them. And then the Bible tells us in verse 6 down to verse number 8, we saw Paul's ministry convictions. By the way, it's going to help us to review this tonight because of what we're going to learn in verse number 9. So it's going to help us to review it. From verse 6 through verse number 8, we saw that Paul was being oppressed. Matter of fact, tonight we're going to go back to verse number 6 here in just a moment to read it together so we can find out exactly what happened. But in the city of Corinth, he was being oppressed, or excuse me, being opposed, I should say. And so because he was being opposed by the people in the city of Corinth, he decided to move on to others to share the gospel with them. He was being opposed by the Jews. He moved on from witnessing to the Jews and he was going to share the gospel with those that needed to hear the gospel. And we finished off with verse 6 and 7 and 8. And we talked about a man who worshiped God faithfully. His name was Justus. And remember, his house sat right beside the synagogue. Paul would go into the synagogue and they opposed him. They didn't want to hear him. So the Bible tells us he yoked up with this man named Justus who was worshiping God. And then the Bible tells there was a man named Crispus who came to know Christ as his Savior. And he was delivered from his sin. And as a result of that, there were other Corinthians that believed as well. And we read about that in verse 6 and verse 7 and verse number 8. We're going to start at verse number 9 tonight. And there's several verses that we want to challenge us with tonight. And there are going to be some comforting things that we're going to say about our God tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing to you as just as much as it was a blessing to me as I was preparing the message for tonight and how God used it to encourage my heart and give me some reminders, some things that we're going to know tonight. We're going to know these things about God, but it's going to help us to have some reminders. Number one, I want you to see in verse number 9, I want us to notice the courage. I want us to notice the courage that God is asking Paul to have here in verse number 9. God is asking him to be courageous. Look with me if you would, because remember now, Paul is being opposed in the city of Corinth. And so God's giving him comfort. He's encouraging him. I want you to have courage in the midst of this city where, by the way, and we're going to talk about this as we go along, God in his foreknowledge knew, because God is a God who has foreknowledge, that he already knows what's going to happen. And so God in his foreknowledge, he already knew that if Paul would just stick it out in the city of Corinth, he was going to have a very fruitful ministry there. And he was going to get to establish a church, and he was going to get to see some great things take place in the city of Corinth. So God knew it the whole time. So he's saying, I need you to be courageous. I need you to be strong and to be faithful and to be courageous. So I want you to notice, number one, the courage that God asked of Paul. By the way, the same courage that he asked of you and I today. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 9. The Bible says this. Verse number 9 of Acts chapter number 18. It says, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Now we're getting to see in the Bible quite a bit here in the book of Acts about visions that these men would see. Remember back in chapter number 10, Peter saw the vision of that sheep coming down with those clean and unclean animals on it. Then we got to Acts chapter number 16 where they saw the vision. We call it the Macedonian call, right? Where they were being called to go to Macedonia. They wanted to go to a different area, but God was leading them. And through that vision, they listened and answered the call of God. Well, here's another vision that they see. And again, we've said that. I almost feel like I say it every time I bring it up. But this is not the way God speaks today now. You're not going to go to bed at night, have some type of a dream because you have heartburn, and then wake up the next morning and say, oh, I think God was trying to teach me something overnight, so I need to go share this with somebody else, this vision the Lord gave me. That's not the way God speaks today. And I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm just saying that God doesn't speak like that today. We've got the Bible. We've got the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So God speaks in different ways today. But there were times here where he would use these visions. And so Paul sees this vision. And the Bible says God speaks to him. Now think about that. God speaks to him. And notice the first three words with me, if you would. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Now that's some comfort tonight, isn't it? Here's what God is asking of Paul. He's asking him to be courageous. We're noticing the courage here tonight that God is asking of Paul. Paul had moved on from preaching to the Jews because they opposed his message. I told you we'd read verse 6. Would you go back up to verse number 6 for a moment? It says, and when they had opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. So he said, all right, the Jews won't hear the message. I'll shake off my raiment. I'll move on to the next place where I'm able to preach the gospel, and I'll trust that the Gentiles will receive the message. Now, some might look at verse number 6 and they might get confused, or they might take it out of context. They might say, well, it seems like according to verse number 6, Paul is disobeying the Lord. But Paul did not shake off his garment and move on from the Jewish people to the Gentiles because he was disobeying the Lord. Instead, and by the way, we could say another thought, because we want to make sure that we don't ever get to this place in our life as well. He wasn't to the place where he was questioning God's will either. See, it's not necessarily a wrong thing to have a question for God. Maybe God's put you through something and you are asking, you know, why did I have to go through this? The thing is it's not necessarily a wrong thing to ask God that question, but don't necessarily expect an answer, because God doesn't sometimes owe us an answer. Sometimes God's not going to give us an answer. It's one thing to question something you go through. It's an entirely different thing to question God's will. See, God had a will for Paul. He had a desire, something he wanted Paul to accomplish. But it's not because Paul was trying to disobey. It's not because he was questioning God's will. But he had a desire. Paul had a desire to be sure that God was leading. And if these people are so opposed to the gospel, it seems as if God's not leading in this way. So I'm going to move from these people that are opposing me, and I'll move on to a group of people that perhaps would want to hear the gospel. Now think about what Paul is going through here. Notice the three words that God says to him, and I hope this will be a help to you tonight. He's going through a time really of persecution, being opposed. Remember, this is a pattern in the book of Acts, isn't it? There's preaching that's taking place. Souls are being saved. As a result of souls that are being saved, persecution comes. This pattern continues right here in Acts chapter number 18. But here are the three words that God gives to him. Be not afraid. Paul, I'm asking you to take a step of courage. Be not afraid. And here's the encouragement for us tonight. Would you try to hopefully gain something from this tonight? Sometimes, instead of choosing to calm the storm that's in your life, God chooses to calm his servants instead. And the thought tonight is fairly simple for us, I hope. Maybe God won't take away the storm, but while you're going through the storm, he'll find a way to calm you. He'll find a way to give you the courage that you need to move on for him. And that's what God is doing here. He's not necessarily going to take away the storm, but he's going to calm the servant so Paul can be used for God's glory. Now you say, all right, what do we mean when we talk about Paul going through times of persecution and Paul going through fears? Well, remember, he's in the city of Corinth. What were the books in the Bible that he would have written? Because of being in the city of Corinth, he would have written those books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Would you keep your place here in Acts chapter 18, and would you take a moment to go to 1st Corinthians chapter number 2? We're going to journey in Corinthians for just a moment here. 1st Corinthians chapter number 2, and look with me, if you would, at verse number 3. 1st Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verse number 3. I want you to notice that Paul, as he was ministering in Corinth, Paul acknowledges the fact that he had fears. There are times of fear that Paul had. Remember, this is why God's saying, be not afraid. I'm not going to take away your storm, but I'm going to try to calm the servant that serves through the storm. Look at what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. It says this, and I was with you in weakness, what's the next three words? And in fear. And in much trembling. Now we almost look at Paul. I mean, at least in my mind, I think of the servant of God that Paul was, and he almost, to me in the Bible, almost seems like a superhero. I mean, think about all this man accomplished for the cause of Christ, and we're reading verses like this, and we realize after all he accomplished for the Lord, he still was a human, wasn't he? And there still were times, just like for you and I, when he had times of fear, when he had times of trembling, the Bible says. It reminds me of the Old Testament. How many times did we hear the mighty man named David talk about how he was afraid, talk about how he had fears? And he always would have to go to the Lord because of those times of fear that he had and the times of trembling, just like we think about Paul here. So yes, Paul's going through times of fear. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 4. And much speech, and he says, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The idea here is this. Yes, I had times of fear. I had times of trembling, but I kept preaching the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit used that preaching with great power. He gave me the boldness that I needed to not be afraid and be courageous every step of the way. So yes, during his ministry, he did have times of fear. And then can I say this? During his ministry, he also had to deal with a lot of enemies. He had to deal with a lot of enemies. You know, as Christians, we've got it pretty good. When we think about the things that Paul had to go through, my family and I knocked on a door yesterday and we got yelled at. And I'm talking about we got yelled at. A guy who was so mad because I knocked on his door and I got him out of his chair. He said, you got me out of my chair to come to me and talk to me about that. I mean, he was angry. He used some curse words. He slammed the door. I mean, he was angry. My children were, some of my children were there, sadly, and they got to, you know, they heard all of that. And I thought, man, as angry as that man was, but still we think about the things that we go through as Christians, nothing compared to what Paul had to face. Yeah, we might have somebody yell at us every now and then for serving the Lord. We might have somebody get upset with us from time to time. But nothing like the things he had to go through, the enemies he had to face. Let's read a little bit about it. Look with me, if you were to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, we're just kind of journeying through here. 1 Corinthians 16, look with me, if you would, at verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 7, he says this, "For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." Now look at verse 9, if you would. "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many," what's the word? "Adversaries." Paul said, I got a lot of enemies. I got a lot of people. There's a door that God has opened, but there's some enemies that are going to try to stand in the way. And yes, from time to time, as God opens up opportunities for us, there might be enemies that will stand in the way, adversaries that we have to face that will stand in the way. Of course, nothing compared to what Paul had to go through. But yes, he had times of fear. He had times of enemies that he had to face. And then, would you consider this? He had hardships that he had to go through. Take your Bible and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'd say you're probably familiar with this little passage of scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul begins to share all of the hardships that he had to go through. So he had fears. He had enemies. He had hardships. Look at verse 24 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." Look at verse 28. "In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." No wonder Paul later on in the book of Philippians could say that I've had times where I've had a lot of want, and I've had times where my needs were always were taken care of well, but he said, "In whatsoever state I was in, I learned to be content." Paul had a lot of times where he suffered want. I mean, we think about the light challenges that we have to face as children of God compared to what we are reading about here with the story of Paul. But Jesus, again, in that vision, is giving him that reminder. Be not afraid, he says. Be not afraid. Yes, you're going to have times of fear. You're going to have times of enemies. You're going to have times of hardships. You're even going to have the responsibilities that go along with leadership. And that right there can be challenging in and of itself. The responsibilities that go with leadership and overseeing churches. Think about these churches that Paul had to oversee. As a matter of fact, if you still have your Bible open to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the very next verse when I stopped reading, verse 28 says this, "Besides those things that are without, that which cometh unto me daily, the care of all the churches." Man, I got to take care of all of these churches that have been established as well, make sure their needs are taken care of. And I'm trying to oversee these churches and these ministries as well. So think about the things that Paul was going through. He's going through times of, again, suffering, times of dealing with enemies, times of dealing with hardship, the responsibilities of the ministries that he had. But God was telling him in his way of giving great encouragement to Paul, he's saying, be not afraid. With God, there's no need to fear. And for us tonight, we can think about the challenges of life that we have to face. Things that come up in life from time to time. We got different groups of people in here tonight. We got children facing the challenges that they'll face as a child. We got teenagers that are sitting in here tonight with the challenges of the teenage years that they're going through. We've got middle-aged people. We've got senior citizens that are sitting in here tonight, some raising children, some trying to be the spouse that God wants you to be, some trying to be the parent God wants you to be, some trying to be the grandparent God wants you to be, all of us trying to be the Christian God wants us to be, right? And there are challenges that go through with that, that we go through with that from day to day and from hour to hour and from moment to moment. But God is saying to us with great encouragement, I want you to have courage, and I want you to be not afraid. No need to fear when God is in control. See, the idea here tonight is God is bigger than any of the oppositions that Paul was ever going to face. God is bigger than any opposition that you will ever face. God was bigger than any of the enemies that Paul would have to face, any of the hardships he would have to go through, any of the storms that was in his life. And the same applies to us tonight. That's why I told you, I hope this message tonight would be an encouragement to you here from Acts chapter 18, because God's trying to encourage Paul, and he's trying to say to him, be not afraid. The challenge for us tonight is this: we're not capable, but God is, isn't he? See, I'm not capable, but I love to sing that song. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I'm not capable on my own to accomplish things, but with God, he's able to help me through. And if you think about this, times where we're uncomfortable, when the surroundings are uncomfortable, that's the time when our faith and our courage really grows. You think about the uncomfortable surroundings that Paul's facing here with these times of suffering when he's being opposed, and the hardships and the storms that he's going through and the ministry responsibilities and leadership responsibilities that God had given to him. Well, those are the times when our faith and our courage grows. When everything's comfortable and everything's in its place and everything's exactly like it's supposed to be, the faith and courage isn't growing quite like the challenging times, is it? And that's where we rely upon the Lord. We say, he is there for us. Be not afraid. The idea tonight is simply this. The encouragement tonight, maybe the application tonight is this. If God calls you to something just like he called Paul, he will equip you. And he'll be there with you. And we'll see that in just a moment. And his Holy Spirit will be there to supply every need that you have. There's some encouragements in the Bible. Matter of fact, God said one to Joshua. When he said to Joshua, as Joshua was taking over the leadership of Moses, he said, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. In the book of Isaiah, God comforts the prophet. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Number one tonight, the courage. God is encouraging Paul to be courageous. But then would you go back to verse number 9 for a moment? And I want you to now notice the commandment. We saw the courage, but now we want to notice the commandment. Before I even read the next part of verse number 9, can I say a little statement to you that I hope will help you? God gives the encouragement, and then he gives the commandment. Isn't it amazing that God will have that pattern in your life as well? He'll give to you the encouragement first, and then he has a way of giving us the commandment that he wants us to follow. As a matter of fact, I'll prove it in just a moment in a very well-known passage of Scripture right after I read verse number 9. Would you look at verse number 9 with me, the next part of this? It says this, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Remember the next words, be not afraid. Now watch this. But speak and hold not thy peace. Now that's a commandment, isn't it? That is clearly a commandment. He gave him the encouragement. He said, I want you to be courageous. Be not afraid. But then he says, now I want you to speak and hold not your peace. He gives a commandment to him. So he gives him the encouragement and then he gives the commandment. Now, isn't that exactly what God did when he gave to us the Great Commission? See, we're very familiar with the Great Commission. We read it in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Acts. We read it in all of the Gospels, the book of Acts as well. But what we don't consider sometimes is that God gave us great encouragement, and then he gave us the Great Commission, or he gave us the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let me prove it to you. In Matthew chapter number 28, where the Great Commission is, I want to read verse 18, and then I want to read verse 19. Verse number 18, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, now watch this, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. See, God says, I've got the authority to give you this great commission. I've got the authority to give you this command and power that goes along with that. He gives them the encouragement first, and then he says to them in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Here's the idea tonight, the thought tonight, the application tonight is this. God is going to encourage you, and then right after he encourages you, he'll give that commandment. And you'll know that God's asking me to do something that he's given me the courage to go out and do. Would you go back with me in Acts chapter 18 and verse number 9 for a minute? In Acts 18 verse number 9, he uses a word here. It says, be not afraid. And now notice, it says, but, and we're going to emphasize the word speak. The word speak there. That's a command that God gives to him. He says, now you're to speak. What is God asking him to do? He's asking him to obey the command to speak. Speak what? Well, we know what he means. He wants him to speak the gospel, doesn't he? And here's what that word has the idea there. In the way that that word is written there in verse number 9 of Acts chapter number 18. It goes along with the idea of not only speaking so that you obey the command of God, but keep on speaking and don't get to the place where you ever get silent. Oh, if that isn't an encouragement for us tonight. God's saying, keep on speaking and don't ever get to a place where you're ever silent about the Great Commission or about the gospel or about the witness and the message that God wants you to share. God's call, would you consider this when we think about obedience tonight and a command that God gives? God's call involves action, doesn't it? So if he's going to encourage us and then he's going to give us a commandment, that means he is asking us to respond with action. So obedience to God is going to, and his calling is going to involve action, and it's going to involve obedience on our part. We have to be willing to obey what God has asked us to do. So number one, we saw the courage. Number two, we saw the commandment. And then we'll close tonight by noticing the comfort. Oh, this ought to be a blessing to you tonight. This ought to be a blessing because God, here's the thought, God never encourages us and gives a commandment without telling us the whole entire time, I'm going to give you that comfort and be right there beside you and with you as you go. Look at what he says in verse number 10. Oh, what a blessing this is. Oh, it gets you exciting. It gets you excited, I hope, just reading it. Look at verse number 10 tonight. Notice what he says. For I am with thee. Now, this is not just anybody saying that. This is Jesus. He says, I am with thee. And now notice he says, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this place. There are several statements that Jesus makes there to him in verse number 10. And we're going to try to quickly break it down. But the idea here tonight is that God is offering comfort to him. Now I tell you what, it gets me excited. You read a verse like verse number 10 and you would be ready to conquer lions, wouldn't you? Man, God says, he's with me. I'm not going to be hurt. I mean, just picture if you would those guys when they go, they won't bow to the sacrifice. And so they're willing to go into the fiery furnace. And they said, we don't have a reason to fear because God's going to be there with us. And remember they said in that passage of scripture, but if not, if God chooses not to be with us, we're still going to stand faithful for the Lord. Isn't it a great comfort to know that really as a child of God, we can face almost anything because of the promises that he gives to us. Notice here some things that are given. Number one, his presence. Number one, his presence. He says, I am with thee. By the way, he's assured us of that as well, hasn't he? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remember the Great Commission, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. See, those are comforts for us today, aren't they? That God is always going to be with us. He's going to never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be with us. He'll bless us. He promised that, didn't he? He'll protect us. He'll take care of us, just like he promised Paul that he would do. Someone once said this. Someone once said that man without God is nothing. But with God, we have everything, don't we? So if you would consider tonight, you, yourself without God, you are nothing. But yourself adding God into the equation, we're able to be everything, aren't we? Because God's presence is there with us. Not that we can accomplish anything on our own. It's not our own strength. It's not our own ability. But it's because of his presence that it's in our life. Number one, his presence. But then number two, I want you to notice his promises. His promises. He gives very specific. This is why I want you to look at these promises tonight. He gives very specific, encouraging promises. These are very specific promises, and these are very encouraging promises that God gives. God's promises are helpful for us, aren't they? God's promises help us. All throughout the Word of God, there are promises. As long as we meet the conditions that God says go along with that promise, God says, I promise I'll take care of you. I'll be able to keep my promises. He's a promise-keeping God. We can overcome our fears because of promises that God gives us. He can help us to do a great work for Him because of promises that He has given us. Notice these specific, encouraging promises. Would you look at the rest of verse number 10? It says this, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. Number one, He gives a promise of protection. A promise of protection. Would you look real quickly? Please keep your place there in Acts chapter 18, because we're almost done, but we're going to go back just a moment. And turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy just for a minute. 2 Timothy is a book, of course, Paul wrote. He wrote this book to Timothy. And notice what Paul says in 2 Timothy. And by the way, let's keep our minds as we read this on God's promise of protection, okay? God's promise of protection. And let's read 2 Timothy chapter 4 and look at verse 16 and verse number 17. It says this, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge. Look at verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, Paul says. You talk about God's protection. Nobody stood with me, Paul said, but God stood with me. And as a result of God standing with me, I was protected even out of the mouth of the lion. Just like we talked about those three Hebrew children, out of even the fire of the fiery furnace. Daniel, out of the mouth of the lions. David, from that great giant Goliath. And on and on and on we could go. The protection of our God and the promise of His protection. Now, please, please do not look at God's promise of protection here in the city of Corinth for Paul and misunderstand Paul's ministry. Paul was not a man who was unwilling to suffer physically for Jesus. It wasn't like God was saying to him, well, I promise to protect you because I know you're physically unwilling to suffer for me. We could not say that about Paul. Paul was quickly and readily willing to suffer even physically for Jesus. But what God was saying here is that I'm going to protect you from hurt in the city of Corinth. While you are there, God's protection is going to be on you. And even as you feel like people around you are opposing you, you will be protected from them. God gives you that promise. But then notice the second specific promise He gives, and we're going to close tonight. At the end of verse number 10, it says this, for I have much people in that city. He gives him the promise of purpose. Not only the promise of protection, but the promise of purpose. The idea is this, God is saying to Paul, I have a purpose for your life. There's a reason why I put you in the city of Corinth, because there are much people in this city. And what do you think God means when He says that? There are much people in this city. Well, God's trying to say to Paul, there's much people in this city that need God. That's why God brings that up. There's much people that need God. It's not just to say, well, there's a pretty good population in the city of Corinth. No, it's because these are people that need God. They desperately need Him. So I'm going to protect you every step of the way because I have a purpose for you, a purpose for Paul to fulfill. And again, we brought this up at the start of the message. Because of God's foreknowledge, because God can see down the road just like He can see in your life, and He knows what you're going to go through, and He's helping you every step of the way, God in His foreknowledge knew that Paul was going to have a very fruitful ministry in Corinth. And so He's letting him know, I'm going to protect you, and I've got a purpose for you that I want you to fulfill. Now, can we read just a few more verses in Acts chapter 18 to finish this off? Not really talking a whole bunch about it, just reading some verses. Look at verse number 11. Notice, as a result of God's words of comfort, notice what Paul decides to go do. Look at verse 11. And he continued there. Where's there? Corinth. This was the same city where people were opposing him. And remember, he moved on to preach to the Gentiles. God's saying to him, don't be afraid. I'm going to protect you. I've got a purpose for you. And the Bible says he continued there a year and 6 months. Now, a year and a half would have been a whole lot longer than he would have stayed in the average city, right? I mean, as we're reading, we're noticing that, aren't we? He's there, he preaches, his persecution takes place, and a lot of times he has to flee the city. But he stays in Corinth for a year and a half. As a matter of fact, many believe that while he was in Corinth for a year and a half, it was the time that God used in that year and a half for him to write several of the books that we read in the Bible. I know some have spoken to the fact that they believe that during that year and a half time, he wrote the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, maybe perhaps even wrote the book of Galatians. You talk about a fruitful ministry. We've got books now that we read in the Bible that Paul wrote while he was there in the city of Corinth for a year and a half. Notice what it says, teaching the word of God among them. And then now we'll finish off by reading the next few verses. And all that I'm going to do is I'm going to read through here, and it's going to give us a reminder of the fact that God keeps his promises, because he promised that he was going to protect Paul. And that's exactly what he did. Look at verse 12 quickly. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. Now remember, God's going to protect him, right? And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then it talks about how the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. What's happening here? Well, Paul is being protected. God's watching over him. And the Jews, their demand against Paul was refused. We're looking at Paul as taking these teachings, and he's teaching contrary to the law, but the whole entire time, God was protecting him, and the Jews' demand against him was refused. God watches over him. May Acts chapter 18 and these verses that we looked at tonight be a constant reminder of the courage that God wants you to have, the fact that his presence is with you and his promises are with you every step of the way as we serve him. Father, thank you tonight for the truths from Scripture in Acts chapter number 18.